Oh, you see, when I married my wife, she was size 6. Now she has given you 3 children. One has been added to 6 at the back. It's now 16. You are now complaining. Oh, you are too fat. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. I know some men don't like me when I talk about things that pertain to women. You know? Look at when the baby you put there was growing in her womb. The 6, look at how far it went. You expected that after the baby comes out, everything should just go back. Because you are looking at Beyonce. If Beyonce can do it and come back flat, there's no reason why you too. But you who are saying you too can be flat, when last did you go to the gym? You that when you stand up, you can't even see your toes. You are a mountain on the couch. Now you are blaming your wife. Can I continue? Your dinner is akpu in the midnight. No way of digesting the food. No, let's be considerate. Let's stop this murmuring. Let's stop this foolishness. Let's appreciate what God has given us. It says if life gives you lemon, make lemonade out of it. You think she's fat? Thank God. There's more cushion for your relaxation. When you rest your head on her, you don't need to be moving it up and down. It's more comfortable. When you hold her, there's something to hold. Not you holding 2x4. Praise the Lord. You guys want to kill the anointing. Praise God. When you get home, finish reading Numbers 21, verse 1 to 9. Number 7. Oh, you are following me. Okay. Number 4. Dishonor can take away favor. Dishonor can remove favor from your life. Look with me. Everyone is somebody's son. Every woman is somebody's daughter. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. If you are there before me, say amen. Oh, it's because it's on the screen. You are not there before me. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well. That it may be what? Well with you. And thou mayest live long on the earth. No wonder we have all these young people dying anyhow. They have lost respect for their parents. No matter what your parents may have done. The Bible did not put a condition to honor them for. It's just to honor them. If not, the favor of longevity can be removed from you. Your parents will not bury you. And we as parents will not bury our children. In Jesus' mighty name. Don't dishonor the head. Don't dishonor the head. And in the marriage, listen to this carefully. Because many marriages have become Americanized. And that's why there is so much failure in the marriages in America today. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife. Just like Christ loved the church. And listen to this. Jesus Christ is the head of the man, not the head of the woman. The moment you are married, you are not your own managing director anymore. If you are not yet married, your parents are your head. Are you listening to me? Huh? Christ, the head of the man. The man is what? The head. The covering of the woman. Now, if you can't talk to your parents anyhow, then don't talk to your husband anyhow. I didn't hear an amen to that. You know, I mentioned it earlier. Every man deserves what? Respect. Because it's your cover. Because when that cover is removed, you are exposed. You are exposed to the jackals of the world. And more so, if your husband should come out from under the cover of Jesus, both of you are in danger. The whole family is in danger. Don't dishonor that head. Women, I've seen women who want to dictate to their husband what they must do. No, it doesn't work like that. You don't dictate. Make your opinion known. Let him make the final decision. You know why? Because that's the order of things. If your order is reversed, you're going to have problems. The man may not say anything, but one day you may come home and he's gone. I remember a true story. This woman, she was an ambassador in one of the foreign countries. As an ambassador, she's the boss, right? She's like the head of state for the mini country. So anytime she gets home, Joe! That's her husband. Do this. Joe, she forgot she was not in the embassy. Even though the embassy, their home is at the embassy. You understand what I'm trying to say? She couldn't leave the embassy at the embassy. She brought it home. Joe this. Joe that. Have you brought my slippers? Have you run my bath? Have you this, that? Have you gone shopping? Have you done that? One day, she came back from the office. Joe! And there was an echo. The echo responded to her. Joe! Joe had left. Now her eyes now open. Oh, but you know what? She really knew what she was doing. You understand? And she was enjoying it. Oh, I have my husband under my thumb. There is one day you won't find that husband under your thumb. It's cockroach you will find there. Because he's gone. Don't dishonor. Do not. Point number five. I don't know if I have time for all this. Neglect. Neglect of the word of God. When you get home, read Proverbs 8:35. Let's quickly put it on the screen. Proverbs 8:35. Let's quickly touch on it. I think I'm going to be faster opening my Bible than word and sound. Okay. For whosoever findeth me, this is wisdom talking. Remember, the wisdom of God is the word of God, right? Whosoever findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So if you don't find him, then there's what? There's no life, and there's no what? No favor. Disregard for the word of God can be at your peril. Neglect of the needy. Hebrews or Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, 27. Proverbs 3, 27. Very important. We told not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. You know you can help. You know you can do something. But you just refuse to do it. There's a saying in Nigeria. It says, because I want to eat meat, now you want me to call cow brother? God forbid. Amen. You know you can do it, but you want to be begged to do it. It's a sin before God. How many of us here beg Jesus to die on the cross? To pay our ransom. To pay the price we could not pay by ourselves. Hallelujah. Neglect of your gift. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm just going to rush these things. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Do not neglect the talent that God has given you. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on what God has invested in you. Use it for the promotion of the kingdom of God. Use it for the betterment of your fellow mankind. Don't neglect it. Because God can through that withdraw favor from you. In the area of neglect. Neglect of God's house. I care only about my things. Who cares about the house of God? Who cares about the church? It's okay for it to be the way it is. What's my business? When you get home, read. I hope you do, because I don't have time. Read Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. God can withdraw favor. Favor of increase. Favor of blessing. Because of the neglect of the house of God. Do you think God is not interested in the church? Even in the church building? Hello? Have you seen the description of the throne of God? Anything beautiful you have ever seen, there is nothing compared to it. The throne of God. This is the place we call God to come and tabernacle with us. It says he will make the place of his sanctuary glorious. Glorious. Praise the Lord. Point number six. Destroyers of favor. This one is big. Betrayal. Betrayal. Apart from the story of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Some people can betray you for a plate of rice. There are some people, just give them food. They are like newscaster. What you ask them, what you didn't ask them, just mention somebody's name. They will tell you their life history. Because of a plate of rice. Some people, they should never know your secret, if you have any. Because they would damage you. You know? Exactly. They will totally damage. Especially, should there be any altercation between you two? Oh. They will, short of calling Kansas City Star. Don't mind him. Is this? Is but I was that when everything was hunky dory. When you were receiving from me, when I was giving you some little money here and there. This just came to my mind. I remember my former church back in England. There was this lady. We're always helping her because she had need. And then I decided that enough is enough. You to go and try something. She went to town. Don't mind them. That shush. They are not good. But for 3 years, we were good. You were collecting, right? But when we said, oh, we can't give you anymore. Now we are bad. There are people like that. Praise the Lord. Look at another one. The book of Daniel. And I do not trivialize Judas's betrayal of Jesus Christ. No. It's a major betrayal. Judas, you betray me with a kiss? Brother Judas hung himself. He died. Dogs ate his flesh. The one he betrayed, he laid down his life. On the third day, he rose again. But he can't rise again. He's rising in everlasting torment. The favor of covering over his life was withdrawn just because he betrayed. Daniel chapter 6. And I'm going to close shortly. I hope that you are receiving something this morning. Daniel 6. I'm going to read verse 4 and 24 and then I'll tell you the story. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were jealous. But they could not find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came out of the bottom of the den. They connived, they betrayed Daniel. They tricked the king, make a law. So that when the trumpet sounds, everybody must bow to your God or to this effigy you made. And Daniel said, no way. I already have the God that I bow to. Threaten me. They said, Daniel does not obey you. And because the king had made, you know, sometimes we make vows that binds us with the devil. The king had made this law that bound him with the devil. But guess what? God was going to show his glory. He threw Daniel in the lion's den, that the lions will eat Daniel. But you know the story. Lions don't eat lion. Amen? Huh? Have you ever seen where a lion ate another lion? Even though it's meat. No, lions don't eat lion. When Daniel came into the den, the lion of the tribe of Judah was already there, waiting for Daniel. He welcomed another lion into the lion's den. After a while, the king came out and said, Daniel, was your God able to save you? I'm alive, oh. That's why I know, no matter who connive against you, you shall live and not die. You will outlive them. I say you will outlive them in the mighty name of Jesus. Daniel was brought out. Those who betrayed him, who had been having the favor of the king, they had the ears of the king. Now that was withdrawn from them. They were thrown into the lion's den. Before they landed, the Bible said that the lion made mastery of them. The lions were doing gymnastics and they jumped and tore them in the air. They ate them, all their flesh, and break their bone and use them as chewing stick. That's the end of betrayers. They die an untimely death. That's the end of backbiters. They never make way. They never go forward. They die behind. What about pride? The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He withdraws favor from the proud. James chapter 4, verse 6. Lastly, in conclusion, and this is one of the most dangerous. This is one that is hardly to be noted. From the scripture we read at the beginning, this servant was owing the king. I'm talking about unforgiveness. He was owing what he could never pay. He begged the king, please give me time. Give me time to pay. The king said, rather than give you time to pay, I forgive you all of it. Don't bother paying. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 18. Let me read it to you. From verse 23. Then the servant fell down worshipped him, saying, verse 26, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He didn't give him time to pay. He said, don't worry about it anymore. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't afford it. Now somebody else was owing him much more less than what he was owing. The Bible says he choked that man. I read in the Open Heavens a couple of days ago about unforgiveness. What our general overseer wrote. I'll give you an excerpt here. He wrote, no man can pay the high price demanded by God for the atonement of sin. But by the mercy or the favor of God through the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Now, not the blood of bulls, not the blood of goats, not the blood of rams or chicken, but the blood of only one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can't pay it. I will pay it on your behalf. I forgive you. There is nothing any man has done to you or I that can be worse than what we did to God. And God made a way. He paid the price for us. He sacrificed himself to say, don't worry, I've paid it all. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. The debt has been paid. The truth now is, should we not extend the same to somebody else, regardless of whatever they have done? Let me show you something. This is extremely important. Verse 35 of St. Matthew 18. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts. Everybody say from your hearts. It has to be clear. Especially if you want God to avenge you, you have to remove unforgiveness. God will not fight for you as long as you are still holding somebody in unforgiveness. One fearful thing is, the Bible says in Mark 11, verse 25 and 26, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So anytime you go before God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me, but you are still holding somebody else in unforgiveness, guess what? That prayer is a waste of time. Jesus said it. He said, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Those who have hurt against you, kill them with love. It may be hard, but you do it. Just love them. I said something during our Bible study. Because people fail in their duty towards us, does not mean we should fail in our duty towards them. Unforgiveness can destroy your destiny. Holding somebody in unforgiveness, somebody said, it's like giving somebody rent-free space in your brain. They are just staying there rent-free and they are tormenting you. They are choking you. They are giving you migraine. And Excedrin can't cure it. Let go. Let go. You want God to intervene in your situation? Forgive those who have hurt against you. Don't remember it. It has to be from the heart. Don't think about it anymore. Anytime Satan wants to bring that remembrance into your heart that makes you feel somehow, it compresses your heart. You have to plead the blood of Jesus and say it again, I forgive you. I forgive you. It starts this way. Whether that person asks you or not, call them. This is what you did to me. They may argue about it. Just tell them, I forgive you. I forgive you. That is, if you know the person. No matter. Somebody, oh, pastor, you don't know. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what I went through. Did they drive 6-inch nails through your hands? Did they pluck your beards? Did they beat you with whips that broke your back in pieces? Did they put crowns and thorns upon your head? Did they give you a cross to carry? Did they hang you between heaven and earth? Did they pierce your side with a sword? If one of the Christian guys captured by ISIS was going to be beheaded, and before they beheaded him, he said, I have something to say. Okay, say it. He He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive all of you. And God have mercy on you all. Do you know? And this is great. This is serious. Somebody kneeling down to be beheaded and has bitterness in their heart and say, yes, they are killing me because I'm a Christian. That person is going to hell. Did you hear me? Even though they behead him for his faith, he's going to hell. Because bitterness can now enter heaven. Go and read your Bible very well. Oh, because you claim you are a Christian and somebody kill you and you think you are going to make it. Oh, no, 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 no. That man who said, you know what, I forgive you. He took the power from them. He took the power of the sword from their hands. You can kill this body, but you cannot destroy my soul. I forgive you. Isn't that what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? He spread between heaven and earth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Many times it is ignorance that make people offend us. It is ignorance that make people backbite about you. It is ignorance that make people carry stories about you that is not all over the place. I was talking with somebody, a friend yesterday, who had been in Nigeria for over 2 years and came back. Went evangelism every day. He left his wife and children here, working for the Lord, distributing Bibles everywhere. And people who didn't know him began to talk all kinds of rubbish. I said, when people don't know your story, they will formulate one for you. Hallelujah. When they don't know where you belong, they will formulate one and tell people, oh, they are like, we never seen with a woman. He's gay. They just formulate something. Oh, because the man chose to be faithful to his wife. Where nobody can see him. Now he's gay. Oh, we see him every day walking up and down. He's jobless. No, he's not jobless. In the process of serving God, guess what? His son was admitted into Harvard. Not only that, in the whole of America, his son and one other boy in Independence here were given full ride scholarship to Harvard by Bill Gates. Reward for service. Reward for service. Let's bow down.